Youth and baby-faced looks can mask a girl's true intentions.
You had time to think about it.
A devoted daughter is too obedient.
She would do anything for him.
A very beautiful woman.
She didn't know what a monster he really was.
Where the hell have you been?
Out with my friends.
A rebellious teen thinks Halloween should be a real horror.
That mind is so twisted, so dark, that anything is possible.
And the pastor's daughter is no angel.
The most cold-blooded murderer I've ever prosecuted.
These deadly women look too young to do harm, but they are lethal teens. Garden Grove, California, 1985.
You check on my wife. I think she's been shot.
In the early hours of March 19th, the police are called to a suburban tragedy.
She's down the hallway.
Mister, sir, wait here. Just wait here.
As I nudged the door open of the darkened room, I saw Linda Brown lying on the bed.
23-year-old Linda Brown, the mother of a baby girl, is shot dead in her bed.
To just be sleeping and to be shot twice in the chest, that was kind of hard to see.
Linda's husband, David, is out of the house at the time of the murder. But her 17-year-old sister, Patty, who lives with them, is home.
Do you know who did this?
You have to tell him, Patty.
Patty not only hears the shots, she knows who the killer is.
It was Cinnamon.
My daughter.
Patty was awakened by a gunshot, and she saw who she believed was Cinnamon Brown running by and out the back door.
Thank you.
The hit-style killing is committed by a 14-year-old, David's daughter, Cinnamon. Police search the neighborhood for the teen killer. But the next morning, they find her closer to home.
I found her.
One of the detectives spots her leg sticking out of the doghouse.
She's alive. Call an ambulance.
She has vomited up this concoction.
Racked with guilt, Cinnamon tries to commit suicide by swallowing painkillers.
Also in the doghouse was a note she had written, which stated basically, please forgive me for what I have done.
Police have an open and shut case.
She confesses to the crime. She takes responsibility for it.
In August 1987, Cinnamon pleads guilty to first-degree murder. She is sentenced to 11 years in a California youth authority. Case closed. Or is it?
The detectives who originally came into the case just thought there's probably a lot more to this story than we've yet uncovered.
For 3 years, detectives work on earning Cinnamon's trust. Finally, they tell her something that breaks her silence.
David had married Linda Brown's sister, Patty Bailey. They had a child together and moved into a beautiful home.
She suddenly became aware that she'd been used by her father and used horribly.
Cinnamon is ready to tell the truth. 5 years earlier, Linda has a charmed life. A new baby girl and her sister living with her. Husband David is a successful computer programmer, earning good money. Enough to support them all, and his own daughter from a previous marriage, Cinnamon.
I'm making lunch, Sam.
I don't want any unloading out.
She hates me.
No, she doesn't.
Everyone's happy except Cinnamon.
Gotta go shopping. Wanna come?
No, I think I'll stay here. Have fun.
2 years after marrying Linda, David's eye turns to a younger woman. Linda's teen sister, Patty.
Very beautiful woman, Patty.
Patty's the next in line to be the new Mrs. David Brown and to live in a nice house and to have financial resources and all of that.
Cinnamon watches her father's affections move from his wife to her 17-year-old sister.
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon was very shocked.
Cinnamon, it's not what it looks like.
What is it then?
She saw, even at 14, all, you know, the complexity of this and the trouble this could cause.
Please, you can't tell Linda.
David has a big problem. But he thinks he has the solution.
You had time to think about it.
David starts planting the seed with Cinnamon and Patty that Linda was going to have him killed.
If you love me, you would do this.
We can think about it.
Okay, do that for me, please.
David was very persuasive, and he took advantage of that and used it to manipulate them to get what he wanted.
Now, come on, tuck in.
February 1985. Garden Grove, California. Seventeen-year-old Patty Bailey is about to murder her sister in her own bed. She's been deluded into thinking she is saving her lover's life. David claims his wife, Linda, is planning to kill him.
He gave her the gun, he told her how to muffle it in a pillow, and sent her up to the bedroom to shoot her sister, Linda.
but that's as far as it went. She could not do the actual deed. After David saw that Patty could not follow through with this, he began working more on Cinnamon.
Again, David asks a teen to do his dirty work. This time, his 14-year-old daughter, Cinnamon.
Now it's heavy. You've got to grip it tight, okay? I need to point it.
Linda isn't the only person David wants his daughter to shoot.
So when you've done it, I want you to shoot yourself.
No!
No, it's only to try to make it look like you've killed yourself.
When Cinnamon refuses to shoot herself, Dad suggests pills.
Come here, put that gun down. Hold out your hand.
Cinnamon would take some painkillers and leave a suicide note.
Okay, come on, take them now.
But there wouldn't be enough medicine to really hurt her.
Take the gun. You can do this, okay? You can do this. Wait for a few minutes.
David leaves the home, confident his daughter will do his bidding.
David Brown was a master manipulator of young girls. He could get them to pretty much do anything.
And poor Cinnamon believed this was the only way she could save her father's life.
David gave her a blanket to use as a silencer.
And shot Linda in the chest.
She was gurgling and dying.
Cinnamon takes aim a second time.
The gun has jammed. So she gives the gun over to Patty.
What did you do? I don't know. What's wrong with it?
As they try to disengage this blanket from the gun, the gun accidentally went off.
Go!
It unjams the gun, and Cinnamon goes back down the hall. And shoots Linda once again.
I have seen men who are willing to defile young girls. I have seen parents who are willing to manipulate their children. But Dave Brown was kind of special because he had it all in one package.
But revenge will be sweet.
Cinnamon.
After 3 years in prison, Cinnamon gets disturbing news.
How are you, sweetie?
Police tell her the overdose pills should have killed.
Why'd you make me do it, Dad?
Her father wanted her dead.
David's intent was to have Cinnamon die, and there would be no witnesses to this crime.
This was the only way we'll ever be a family again. I thought you understood that.
No, I do.
Cinnamon's wearing a wire. David's own words prove his guilt. He and new wife Patty are arrested.
Excuse me, Mr. Brown.
We'd like you to come down to the station and ask a few questions.
Patty confirmed everything that Cinnamon had said.
Patty Bailey pleads guilty to first-degree murder and is sentenced to a California Youth Authority until the age of 25. She is released in 1993. David Brown is convicted of first-degree murder. He is sentenced to life, no chance of parole.
The judge told David Brown that he made Charlie Manson look like a good guy because Charlie Manson didn't use blood relatives to commit his murders.
In 1992, Cinnamon Brown is paroled at age 21.
The thing that struck me most about the case is the ability of a parent to influence a child for good or evil. And we saw the evil acted out here.
Cinnamon bears some responsibility for this. Of course, she pulled the trigger, and she did it twice. But David was the puppeteer.
Halloween, a day of harmless pranks and costumes.
She was wearing weird makeup and stuff like that, painting her fingernails black.
A time to indulge demons.
Page after page of spells and curses and charms.
And dark forces.
Some of the darkest, evilest things you can imagine.
A busy weeknight in Hagerstown, Maryland, 2006.
Hi, honey.
Dad's home.
Hey.
So I didn't aim my biology assignment.
Billy Black and his family come together to share their day.
He was very loving and caring. He would ask the kids how their day went. And how my day went.
On another date.
His family come first.
Where it takes all the girls.
Teenage daughter, Danielle, is the apple of her daddy's eye.
We talk about a girl in junior high who was getting A's, getting B's, playing the trumpet. She was a good girl.
A dedicated student until she hits high school. Then everything changes. Danielle is drawn into the insular world of goth. Now she follows their rules, not her family's.
She just told her daddy all kinds of lies, and he just couldn't trust her no more.
What her parents don't know that she's doing are some of the darkest, evilest things you can imagine.
Danielle's rebellion is now experimenting with erotic extremes.
Danielle loved nothing better than to cut herself while having sex and to drink that blood. Now, what does that tell you about this 15-year-old's mind? It tells you that that mind is so twisted, so dark, that anything is possible.
Her father is desperate.
Where the hell have you been?
Out with my friends.
Why didn't you?
He said, I don't know what's wrong with her. He said, I'll try to help her, but she don't want my help.
Off of my arm!
Billy was just being a good father.
No.
He was putting borders, guidelines, and restrictions on a young teenage girl.
Fifteen-year-old Danielle is slipping from her father's grasp. And everything he does to try and get her back leads to more resentment.
I think she hated him.
He pushed me through a window.
No way.
And then he locked me out of the house for hours.
That's so wrong, man.
At school, she tells outrageous lies about her father.
I don't know how you could live with that.
I can't. Not for much longer.
Danielle set out on a path to destroy her father's reputation, to make it look like he was victimizing her, brutalizing her, and beating her. It was all lies.
Her friends buy her story. But one takes a special interest, fellow goth, Alec Agar. He comes from an abusive background.
I know what it's like to feel helpless.
Alec was damaged goods. He had been sexually violated by more than one person when he was a young boy.
All I could think about was protecting her.
Around town, Alec is known as the Protector.
You gotta protect those that can't protect themselves, right?
This is exactly what Danielle was looking for. Alec was the bomb, and Danielle lit the fuse.
A depraved bonfire party in Hagerstown, Maryland, in the fall of 2008. Danielle Black has befriended tough guy Alec Agar, and she knows exactly how to push his buttons.
Danielle begins to hear these stories from Alec that he was an abused child. So what does she do? She uses that, spins it for her own benefit.
Your dad did this to you?
Yeah.
I can't let this happen to you.
He was going to confront Mr. Black about this and put an end to it.
So you'll help me?
Yeah.
In Alec's eyes, Billy Black becomes this monster that needs to be taken off the face of the earth.
October 31st, 2008. Billy Black is up bright and early.
Oh, I've made you a tea.
No time, honey. I'm running late for work. Bye. Love you.
Love you too.
Danielle has planned a Halloween the family will never forget.
He came in and kissed me and told me he loved me and left, and that's the last I've seen of him.
He walks out the door that day to what? To Alec waiting for him.
This was not an easy murder. Alec was really killing someone else. Alec saw Billy as every man who had ever hurt him in the past. And he was going to make Billy pay for the sins of others.
Dan Danielle was watching out the window when he was murdered. She wanted her father killed because he wouldn't let her do what she wanted to.
What's going through Danielle's mind at that moment was everything that I planned for, everything that I want in life. It's gonna happen now.
Alec tries to cover his tracks by making the murder look like a mugging gone wrong. When police discover the body, they are stumped.
Billy Black was a person that was known to be a hardworking person, that he was known not to have any enemies. His wallet was missing, so robbery was a potential motive. But at that point, it's truly a whodunit.
I was just destroyed. I didn't know what to think. How could this happen? What am I going to do without him?
Danielle's secret stays between her and her father's killer until she lets something slip at the funeral.
Here's her daddy laying dead, and she said, "Now I can laugh." She said, "But I got to behave myself for a while."
Police find out Danielle has asked others to kill for her.
It depends.
I'm asking you as a friend.
The school chums had heard her talk about, wanting someone to kill her father.
Forget it.
While you don't want to think of a 15-year-old girl as a suspect in a murder, there weren't any others.
It is not long before Alec is questioned.
The most important evidence against Alec Ager came from Alec Ager himself. They offered him a polygraph, and he agreed to take it, and then he confessed.
Alec Agar is convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison. Danielle is found guilty of murder, but the verdict is overturned. In 2012, Danielle pleads guilty to solicitation of murder and is sentenced to life, with all but 6 years commuted.
There's only one person responsible for the murder of Billy Black, and that's his daughter, his own flesh and blood.
Danielle is now eligible for parole in 2015.
She's a very cold-hearted person. She has no remorse. And she doesn't care about anybody.
She ran into a young, troubled man that thought he was protecting her. He's serving life in prison. In the end, it was beauty that killed the beast.
For some teenage girls,
where have you been?
Rebelling is a part of life.
She had a problem with her mother telling her what to do.
But when defiance turns criminal,
she's committed a very terrible, very violent act.
Lives are changed forever. In 1996, Denver, Colorado.
Rise and go.
Pastor Madeline Toombs can reach most of her congregation.
Let's get out of here.
Shh, behave yourself.
But not her daughter, 16-year-old Jennifer.
Comes to us through our eyes.
Jennifer Toombs was an out-of-control teenager. She was definitely a behavioral issue with her mom.
Sometimes unwilling.
Madeline adopted Jennifer as a baby.
Make room for her.
She was a loving mother to this child that she'd adopted at a young age.
And you have to find.
Madeline tries to tame the wild in her daughter.
Where have you been?
Out.
I warned you. The next time you did this, you'll be grounded. Now go to your room.
Madeline tried to be strict with her daughter, tried to impose discipline.
Jennifer resisted. She wanted to do what she wanted to do.
Jennifer wants revenge.
Jennifer was very upset by her mother's actions and attempted to and even partially set the bedroom on fire.
She had virtually no impulse control. She was angry, and she wanted to destroy something.
Jennifer isn't just defiant at home.
Jennifer! Jennifer!
She skips school, starts drinking alcohol, and stealing cars.
Yeah! Go, go, go!
As a teenager, Jennifer exhibited all the behaviors that would lead someone to believe she was headed for very serious trouble.
Yeah. Her life of crime comes to a screaming halt when she is arrested for car theft. Jennifer is released on probation, but she can't go far.
Part of her juvenile probation included a curfew that was being monitored with an electronic monitoring device, an ankle bracelet.
Being on confinement was like being in prison, and she was going to get out.
Jennifer sees a chance of freedom. Mom Madeline is going on a weekend church retreat.
Her mother was leaving town. When Jennifer found that out, she planned a party.
But the pastor is one step ahead of her daughter.
Obviously, when you have a daughter who gets in trouble as much as Jennifer did, she wasn't going to leave her at home by herself.
Madeline arranges for close family friend, 23-year-old LaTanya Lavallee, to stay with Jennifer.
Of course I will.
I can't trust her.
LaTanya's family was very involved with the Toombs family. Her stepfather was an associate pastor in the church, so the two families were very close.
On September 27th, 1996, Madeline leaves LaTanya in charge.
Any problems, call me.
We'll be fine.
The two girls are more than good friends. They think of each other as family.
Be a good girl.
She will.
They were so close that Jennifer referred to Tanya as her cousin.
Jennifer, I know what you're up to.
But it doesn't mean Jennifer can do what she wants.
That party that you're planning, it's not gonna happen. It's just a couple of people.
LaTanya says no to the party plans.
No, it's not happening.
Jennifer despised authority. And that night, LaTanya had the authority, but she didn't have the respect. Jennifer respected no one.
September 27th, 1996. Denver, Colorado. LaTanya LaVallee is babysitting a family friend. She is expecting a quiet night. But 16-year-old Jennifer Toombs, already on home detention, has other plans.
They were told, she got to keep your voices down. When they asked why, Jennifer told them, well, my babysitter is still here. Her boyfriend is going to be over to pick her up. But for right now, we have to be really quiet.
A secret party isn't enough for Jennifer.
I'll be back in a minute.
She wants the run of the house and goes to confront LaTanya in the basement.
She then went and again asked Tanya if she could have this party.
Oh, hey, girl. Are you gonna let me have a party?
And Tanya said no.
Why don't you sit down and watch some TV with me?
It's the wrong answer.
When Jennifer wanted something, she wanted it, and she wanted it now.
And there is one way that she can get it.
Look what I've got.
With a handgun. Her friends think she's just fooling around.
She walked down to the bottom level where LaTanya was watching television.
She took the 25 caliber handgun with her. She shot LaTanya 5 times.
She died instantly.
She was sending her a message. How dare you tell me what to do? You're dead.
She then closed the door to the room where nobody could see her and went back to continue her party.
I don't know what that is.
LaTanya's gone out to a nightclub, so we've got
one
of the house.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's it. I know what that is.
Thank you.
She's a stone-cold psychopath and felt nothing about killing LaTanya. No empathy, no remorse, nothing.
A.M. The party is over. But one friend, 15-year-old Tiffany, stays the night.
Once everybody else was gone and Tiffany fell asleep, that's when Jennifer started trying to clean up.
But you can't wash away the mess of 5 bullets to the head. Jennifer comes up with another plan. A break-in.
Oh my God.
Tiffany was asleep. Jennifer woke her up.
Come on, what? Get up.
pretending to be in a panic and said Latanya's dead.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
The only story left was to say that some unknown person came in the house and did it.
I think we should call someone.
Tiffany calls her parents. The police soon arrive. Jennifer sticks to her story. An intruder did it. But she admits the strangest thing, that she tries to clean up the killer's mess before she calls the police.
If an intruder breaks into your house and kills somebody, you don't try to clean up after him.
When the police talk to the party guests, Jennifer's gun-toting ways are exposed.
The people recall hearing some popping noises, thought it might be firecrackers.
All the evidence points to Jennifer.
She tried to cover up this brutal murder in a manner a 16-year-old kid would do it. There's no planning, there's no thinking. It was just kind of, you know, off the top of her head.
Jennifer didn't think things through, or she simply didn't care.
On April 4th, 1997, Jennifer Toombs is convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison. No chance of parole. That anyone could kill a close friend just to have a party defies belief. To this day, it's a mystery.
I don't know if anyone ever got the full picture of Jennifer Toombs.
I've prosecuted serial killers, rapists that killed people. Jennifer Toombs is the most cold-blooded murderer I've ever prosecuted. She killed Tanya like she was taking out the laundry. I mean, it was nothing to her.
Some kids act bad to get attention or make a statement. And some kids just are bad.
These deadly women had innocent looks, but hard hearts. Cinnamon Brown's obedience stole a life. Danielle Black traded a parent for freedom. And Jennifer Toombs killed a close friend for a party. These deadly women hid a turmoil deep within. When exposed, they became lethal teens.